Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
And a good afternoon, John. How the heck are you?
No, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing outstanding. Can we start talking about Joey Gallo, the big hit last night, just your impressions him of, you know, being sick there during training camp and what he's been able to do for you guys here in the first three series?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously he's probably the our best player and one of the more talented guys in the league. The thing that's been really fun to see, besides just the production, is the way this guy is playing day in day. I mean, you watch, he's flying down the line like routine ground ball. He's making his bang bang play at first. He made that sliding grab in foul territory the other day. He's made some big time throws to hold runners. He had a ball hit off the right field wall yesterday that held the guy to a single. I think it was Dickerson. And I mean, he's just playing all out right now. And he's kind of showing off his ability, but you could tell like the way he's going about it. Joey's maybe not a vocal leader, but he's starting to lead a little bit by example and just how he's playing the game, how he's preparing, and that kind of evolution of who he is, just from a talented guy to now a really productive player and starting to take a little bit different role in the team, has been fun to watch.
So when is Joey going to bat in the first inning, even if nobody gets on base? Is that coming soon?
You know, I know that's been brought up before and makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways, but I'll leave that to Woody and Joey to map that out.
Let me ask you about the guys around him, because it seems like, or at least to me, watching Joey, where it's shortened to the season, but right now batting over 300, giant OPS, the power, he's got everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry that if you can't have somebody who's consistently producing ahead and or behind him, that we might just get to where pitchers say, you know what, maybe I'm not going to throw to this guy a whole lot?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, we've obviously can't be a one-man show, and you know, we've gotten off to a bit of a team-wide slump with a few exceptions. So yeah, and naturally you can't just have one guy or they'll pitch around him. I mean, I do think in general, like the idea of totally pitching around a guy and him being on base all the time too is I'd rather him be able to swing the bat, but that's not a bad thing either, right? If there's constant traffic on the bases, guys are gonna get better pitches to hit and go from there. So I think that we will come out of this as a team. I don't necessarily expect that anybody to produce at the same level that Joey has been, but I think that we have a lot of guys that are better than they've played so far.
How much better? How much better are you guys than what you've shown so far, JD? Tell us about that.
Offensively, I mean, it's got to be. I mean, with a few exceptions, you know, really like two games. The second game against Arizona where we scored, I think, seven, and then yesterday where we scored nine. I mean, you know, we haven't – those are the two games we've kind of put good at-bats together, start to finish. And other than that, we've, you know, been very when we've gotten guys on, we've just been easy to pitch to. We've kind of expanded the zone a little bit. And so I think as a team we're going to be meaningfully better than we've been, but that's not especially high bar to get over.
JD, how hard is it, though, with all that's going on with the restrictions at the ballparks and stuff like that, of going in and taking some extra reps and getting some extra, cuts and coaching and things like that? Is it something that you almost have to go through the games to get that, or are the players having opportunities to try and work through some things and maybe make some corrections?
There's a little bit of it, but not as much. I've always thought that, especially when guys are going good, that there's almost too much time to hit and to get going. Guys that have really good routines and know what they want to do, they kind of they're able to, kind of like Adrian Beltre. He knew he didn't need 1,000 swings, but he knew his routine, the 30 swings he wanted to take every day. But now, in the past, you would have an opportunity if a guy wanted to stay late with a coach in the cage. Maybe they'd get some extra work in, or they would come in early and kind of grind in the cage. And now there's very limited time to do some of those things. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think there's ways to work through that, but it's a clear change in what guys are used to in their routines.
JD, who is your favorite cardboard cutout that sits behind home plate when you guys are at Globe Life Field?
The ones that are like directly behind home plate.
Yeah, and there's just 6 or 8 I think that are the mainstays there.
Up above there, there's like somebody that had a giraffe, and there's this guy next to him that's like absolutely shocked at whatever he's looking at. There's one of those that I like. Down below, I like the one of AB, the big smile on AB.
Okay.
I'd probably go with that one.
For the Doppel Ranger thing, if I pay the Doppel Ranger price, can I put whatever I want up there? Can I send in a picture of a tiger? Could I put an elephant in there?
I don't know what sort of sensor process there is to make sure, make sure you're not crossing any questionable lines, but. Yeah. I think if it's like fairly basic, like a tiger or something like that, I think they're going to be good with it.
What if somebody put in, this is just popping into my head, like if another team was offering the same promotional deal, I would love it if like 100 Ranger fans just bought them and you were on the road and there's 100 Ranger fans just sitting there. If another team's fans are trying to get in on the Doppel Ranger bit, do we have a way to stop that?
That's good. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm asking you so many questions that have nothing to do with your job, and I apologize.
Yeah, but we could have fun with it too, right? I mean, we could take their money to do it and then stick them in like questionable spot.
Ooh,
there you go.
That's good sports executing.
There's not a lot of obstructed views in Globe Life, though, JD. Every seat is a good one. Let me ask you about Jonathan Hernandez, because just watching him and seeing the life on the pitches that he throws is so much fun. And I loved what Woody said after the game yesterday, because I feel like coming into the year, he was like, he'll just come along. And then the season started. It's like, bam, 8th inning, bam, heart of the lineup. And after the game, he said, I'll just keep putting him in whenever is the toughest spot and letting him throw. Is that a lot to put on a guy who's still – really new to big league baseball, and who are some of the other guys in the bullpen that you feel like you can trust at the same level that you can trust him in those high leverage situations?
Yeah, I mean, well, from a stuff standpoint, he's kind of in his own category. I think when Joely and Montero and these guys come back, here in the next week or so, I mean, it'll boost us, and we'll have some additional guys with that kind of like ability and talent to go towards the back end. But I mean, it's been a quick rise. You look at Jonathan; he really hasn't had a ton of time really above A ball. He's got like a half season at Double A, and basically brought him up out of there. He made an adjustment. He went from the rotation to the bullpen, and then he made an adjustment mechanically, kind of his hand position on the baseball. A really good job by our pitching group in the minor leagues to help him with that. And he's taken off from there. And this winter, I mean, he just kind of got some confidence, and he matured. His dad as a pitching coach down the Dominican. Jonathan spent a lot of time in the break in New York. His wife's there. But I think he's just kind of grown up a little bit. And now he's kind of, you go out there and you see like this different demeanor and different confidence, and it helps when he's throwing, 97 to 100 mile an hour power sinkers and a 90 mile an hour slider that kind of drops straight down. He actually has a good changeup. So, I mean, he's got as good a stuff as you're going to see, not just on our team, but in the game. There's a couple of the guys. Jabot got hit around a little bit yesterday, but stuff wise, he's got 3+ pitches that he can throw for strikes, and it's another guy that I think could mature and kind of move back into a little more of a leverage role as we get going.
Okay, this may be a dumb question, but how close are some pitchers' pitches to being called something else? Because I hear people saying power sinker, and when I'm watching him throw, I feel like it's more left to right than down. How blurred is the line between what pitches are?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely. So Jonathan's two-seamer. I basically sinker, two-seamer are kind of interchangeable, but Jonathan's two-seamer has, like, enormous horizontal break. So you're right, it is kind of like left to right. But I mean, for the most part, you know, fastballs are going to be your like four seam where guys are trying to ride them, and you don't want to see a lot of horizontal movement. Two seamer where you probably will see some. Some guys will sink more, you know, straight down. Some guys will have more run to them. Depends on like how they throw them. You know, cutter is going to be you know, kind of throw it on a similar plane and will break the opposite way of what a sinker would. A horizontal break, and it's the slider's a bigger kind of a bigger cutter in some regards. So I think it kind of depends on each guy. I remember when I was an intern in Colorado, and I was charting the games, and Roger Bailey was the advanced scout at the time, and Roger pitched in the big leagues for a while, and you know, I would have questions from time to time on like Kevin Brown or these guys. Like, was it hard to tell? Is that a sinker? Was it a split? Was it a slider? Everything was hard and broke down. And I would talk to Roger. I'm like, hey, what is this pitch? And he'd look at it and be like, I have no idea. And it's like, and here's this guy like pitching the big leagues. And I think a lot of times too, when you sit there and you talk to like the staff or you talk to like the hitters, and they'll come back and, you know, a hitter might be, oh, yeah, that was a great, you know, whatever. And the other guy's like, he doesn't throw that. He throws he throws this. And so, I mean, it's not just you. I mean, I think the guys that are around the game a lot of times have a tough time deciphering. Pitch to pitch.
It's John Daniels with you here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. So circling back to Joey, and you could tell his enthusiasm and excitement the way he was feeling last night in his post-game interview, you know, playing with full effort and focus and joy and love for the game. Can you keep him locked in or to just that? The hits will come and go, right? But how do you keep Joey in that mode energy-wise?
Man, I give him a ton of credit. He's made so many strides in that regard. You know, I mean, just self-confidence and belief in what he's doing and not tinkering day to day to where if he has, you know, he's going to have a stretch where he goes 0 for a series or whatever. And, you know, I think he's at a point now where he can handle that. You know, I think nobody wants to see it necessarily, but it's a part of the game. And I think he's in a pretty good spot where, you know, he knows kind of what he needs to do. He knows his routine. He's confident. So I'm less concerned about that than, and it's the normal like maturation of any of us, but especially, you know, somebody who's in a spotlight in a game with so much failure, it's hard. And I think Joey's made big strides there.
So talking with Sandler earlier, it sounded like the plan could be this series, maybe to move him to third in the lineup. What do you have for us on that?
Yeah, I haven't talked with Woody about that specifically. I mean, obviously, the more at bats we get for Joey, the better. So I know it's something that Woody has talked about and has interest in moving him up, but I'm not sure his exact timeline on that.
JD, you know, you now have it looks like you're trying to figure out some things out in center field. Is it really a next man up, or is it you're interested in maybe seeing a couple of different options out there in center field while Danny is on your injured list?
Yeah, so I think Solak's going to continue to move around. You know, I think that's part of the skill set that he brings, is that he can, you know, gives you a good at bat, gives you great makeup, hustle. You know, he's going to figure things out and find a way to make a contribution wherever you put him on the field or in the lineup. You know, Heinemann's playing well, and I think he'll get an opportunity. Eli White is a guy that, you know, we had kind of, I thought, would be getting a chance right now, but, you know, had that oblique in the camp period before the season. And then I think it's Tavares at two at some point. So I think we have, like, some good options. But right now I think it's going to be kind of mix and match until, you know, somebody kind of really runs with the job.
What's the reaction you're getting here to the news with the Cardinals today and a second team dealing with an outbreak? Is there any direction this thing could be heading or not?
You know, I don't know. I talked to somebody at MLB earlier, and obviously I've talked a lot with our guys. I, you I think it's somewhat inevitable. Teams are going to be impacted by the virus. Somebody's going to catch it in every organization, and the challenge is containing it, right? The challenge is like avoiding the spread. And so I don't know, why it's spread or how much it's spread. I don't know all the details of like what's going on there, but I think the biggest thing has been like an eye opener for us, and just the constant reminder of the need to space out, the need to wear masks, the need to, when guys are eating together to back away a little bit. And that's been just, our guys are really well intentioned. I don't think our guys are out running around restaurants and bars here in San Francisco and doing stupid stuff. I really don't. I have like a lot of confidence in them, but they eat together and you're around each other. We have this off day and guys are, we have a kind of a ballroom downstairs. Guys are sitting around, watching the NBA last night a little bit. And like, it's all good intention, but I think we got to be like super, super aware of what's going on. And try to avoid, if the virus happens to be, amongst us already, like you just want to make sure it doesn't run like wildfire.
Is there anywhere in Globe Life where we could take out like 40 seats and put in a body of water? Because nothing makes me happier than watching people in kayaks chase baseballs in McCovey Cove.
Isn't that awesome? I ran down by there today earlier, and just the setting. First of all, the weather here is like ridiculous, like 65, 70, and sunny, and like perfect. And like that setting against the bay right there is ridiculous. I mean, it's just like, I'm not sure there's a better spot in the league.
Appreciate you as always, JD. Give him hell out there, and we'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.